life in the land of the ice and snow. My name is Heather, and today I am here with a guest from the third episode of this podcast who has returned. I'm here with Irma from New Jersey. Hey, Irma.
Hello.
Hey. Well, I had a specific reason I brought you back today, and that's because you've recently been on a trip to the U.S., mm-hmm. back home where you're from, and when you came back, you wrote this post that really hit on everything that I feel when I go between where I grew up and coming back. So I wanted to talk today about what it feels like to be an expat for quite a while, mm-hmm. in another country. It doesn't even have to be Sweden, but the feelings of not belonging and belonging, yeah. in both at the same time, which I've always had a hard time explaining.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just kind of give it to you. I know you're not going to remember word for word.
Yeah.
But so the idea is, when you go back to the U.S., do you feel American, mm-hmm. again, or do you feel a little out of place? Then when you come back to Sweden, do you feel totally at home here or not? I think a lot of us are caught in limbo.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, it doesn't matter what country we've moved to. Everyone has this same feeling that nobody knows how to explain to anyone when they ask. Because it's such a common question I think we get. Like, oh, how does it feel when you go back? What do you... And it's not a simple answer. And I think most people can resonate with this. And I didn't know how to really say it either. I mean, and the reason why I wrote this post especially was not just because I visited the U.S., but because I just hit my 22-year anniversary in Sweden. And I'm 44. So that's basically, I've lived here half my life. And that's such a strange thing to think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's what I also tell people. Like, it's really strange because I moved here when I was 22. So I was basically just an adult. I had just become an adult and I barely worked in the U.S. before I came here. So the more I think about it, I grew up in the U.S., but I've lived here my whole life. What the heck does that make me? I have no idea. And it really hit home with the fact that I was just there a few weeks ago and could sort of take things in.
Okay, so I think a good way maybe, why don't we start out and you could read out what you wrote in your post, because I think you really phrased it well.
This is exactly what I wrote. That's that part of it, just referring to what it feels like when I go back. And I wrote, "When I go back, everything is familiar and yet so foreign at the same time. It's everything I grew up with and everything I recognize, but it's also not anything that's a part of my life, so it feels very separated from me, almost like all of that stuff and those memories belong to a different person." And I go on to say that, you know, when I'm there, I visit places that I'm familiar with, like where I grew up, and I go to my favorite pizza place and I eat the foods I want to eat, like bagels.
Yeah.
And, you know, soft ice cream in the U.S. is really great because they have chocolate and all those things that, you know, that still for me feel like they're very normal, that I still don't understand why we don't have it in Sweden, etc.
Yeah.
And I do all of those things, and even just like talking to people in a way there that you can't talk to people here, like talking to strangers and those kinds of things. But I went on to write that when I do all those things and it almost feels like I'm putting on this sort of American Irma costume while I'm there, that I don't really belong there anymore, even though that's what I'm so familiar with. And I'm really looking forward to getting back to Sweden, where I feel more normal again.
Yeah.
And then that's...
But you're also not 100% normal in Sweden.
Exactly.
Either,
and that's the weird thing. And that's what's so strange about it. Everything is so... When I go visit the U.S., like I wrote, everything is so foreign, familiar and foreign at the same time. I get there and in a way, I do feel like almost like a sort of... Like I snap into American Irma and now I'm going to talk to people a certain way, the way I did when I grew up, the things I'm very familiar with. But because I've lived such a different life and in a different place with different culture and different ways of doing things, that's where the costume sort of feeling comes in. Like I've slipped back into this role I used to have 20 plus years ago. And even though slipping into it feels quite easy because it is so familiar, but then there's that foreign thing that I haven't done that for 20 years. That's not who I am anymore. That's not what what my life is. But then, like you say, exactly. Then I come back to Sweden and I kind of get the same feeling in opposite and while I'm here. And even though I come back and this is my normal life now, this is my life and I have my own ways of doing things here. And I've picked up on some of the Swedish culture or traditions. Yeah. And some of those are my traditions now too. And some the ways of going about things day to day, often very Swedified, yeah. like all the other Swedes. But again, I didn't grow up here, so I don't have the references and those things that other people who live here have had their whole lives, who've grown up here. And so I don't think I feel like I have a costume here. I feel like this is actually me now. This is who is here in Sweden. Right. This is who I am. But I don't fit in. I'm never going to be Swedish. I don't want to be either. That's fine. But I'm never going to feel like I belong here.
Yeah. I always feel a little strange if, because I mean, technically, legally, yeah. we're both Swedish.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
We have the Swedish passport. We are Swedish citizens.
Yes.
Yeah. But it always feels a little odd to me yeah. if I tell somebody, especially when you're on yes. vacation somewhere else, oh, not yeah. the U.S.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just a little easier to say I'm from Sweden
yeah.
than I'm from the U.S., depending on where you are,
yes.
or just to avoid conversations. And I always feel like I'm playing a trick on somebody, but exactly like you, I've lived exactly half of my life in Sweden now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think about it and you think, well, let's take the first 5 years of your life.
Yeah.
You weren't really aware of that
right.
much.
That's
so
true.
When you think about it, maybe I've lived longer
yes.
consciously
in Sweden.
In Sweden.
Yeah.
But you also, like you say, like we didn't go to school here.
Mm-mm.
You know, we didn't grow up in certain decades here that people our own age have experienced
yep.
and the way that things change.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make a huge difference, but it does in some ways.
It does. I mean, because it is just this sort of limbo, I think, that those of us who've experienced this, that we just will live in forever.
Yeah.
Because I'm fortunate to work with a lot of people who are from different countries. It's just that kind of an industry where we have people from all over the place. But of course, there's a lot of Swedes there too. And on my team, there's a lot of Swedes. So sometimes when we're sitting and having lunch and they start having conversations about things when they were growing up, and that's
right.
when I really remember, oh, yeah, I'm not Swedish.
Yeah.
Because all of this means nothing to me. And it just, I have no familiarity with any of what they're talking about. None at all. Versus if there's a few Americans on my team. And, you know, sometimes I know we can say some things that only we know what we're talking about because we grew up with those things. And that feels very comforting and very comfortable. But then, you know, everything else from adult world, that's all Sweden to me. Everything
yeah.
in my adult world has always been Sweden for me. So I don't want to say like a split personality kind of thing, but it's just this two-sided sort of weird thing. And that's one of the things that I refer to in the post is I say it's like when I go back and I visit places or have certain foods or whatever, all those memories, it triggers, of course, it's going to trigger all the memories. And that's why you go to those places. But that it feels like it happened to another person. And that's one of those weird things for me that it really does feel like I have to remind myself that, oh, those are my memories. That was my childhood. I went to that pizza place or the different types of vacations and everything that I took, that just things that are so American.
Yeah, and they're very foreign to the people that you hang out with now
yes.
at this age.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's really weird to explain something
yes.
from your childhood in another country,
oh, yeah.
as it would be for anybody.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a strange place to be. I think, I mean, I'm really grateful for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
This sort of, not double life, but this, that I've had these such vast different experiences in my life, where I grew up versus where I live in now. I think it's a really good thing to have. It really sort of opens your mind. And
helps you to grow.
Helps you to grow. It's not always easy. Sometimes you just
nope.
want everything to feel familiar and at home, and it's never going to be like that. I chose this life, so I have to
yeah.
accept it, and I do accept it. It's just something that you end up thinking about a lot when you realize that you're always going to be different from everyone else.
And I think that's something that a lot of us, especially in the beginning, have trouble coming to terms with, because you go to your Swedish classes and you're doing things and you're like, I'm trying so hard to fit in. I'm trying
oh, yeah.
so hard to get this language right, to get this culture right. And then you come to a point in your life where you're like, it's never going to be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I can learn this language.
Yeah.
You know, I can work here for 20 years or more, be doing all of the holidays, all the stuff you're supposed to do, but I'm never going to be 100%. And you have to be okay with that. And
oh, yeah.
I think that's another step in the whole process of living in another country that doesn't come until later. Because you're fooling yourself if you think, suddenly you're just going to totally mesh in, you know, nobody's even going to know that I'm...
No, that's never going to happen. It's weird. I remember when I moved here and I started, my first year I studied Swedish. My second year I was a teacher and there was an American woman working at that school who at the time she had been here 20 years. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, wow, what does that feel like? But she was an interesting bird because she, I think, dove in 100% to be as Swedish as she could possibly be, to the point where when she spoke English, she had an accent and had some trouble with some things. And that I don't quite understand because I think most of us don't want to lose, no matter
how... It's a part of you, no matter what.
No matter how far away it is from us or how long ago it was, we don't want to lose those parts of us because that's part of who we are.
That's what made you this way.
Exactly. And, and I think there was, like you said, I think there was a specific point where I sort of consciously said to myself, I am never going to be Swedish. I'm fine with that. I did study the language. I worked really hard to learn it. I can speak it fluently now, which I'm really happy about. But there was a point where I realized, no, I'm never going to be fully Swedish and I don't want to be fully Swedish. And I'm very okay with that. Very okay. You know, I will always have this double feeling and this sometimes very foreign feeling here also where things, like we said, when people are talking about things that you don't understand because you didn't grow up here. But that's okay. I like that I come from somewhere else.
And you're never going to 100% buy into every single thing about the culture.
No.
Which is even wherever you're from and where you grow up, you're probably going to disagree with some things about your own culture. And it's the same. You're never going to suddenly start saying like, no, I can't think of an example, no. But what's something about like Swedish culture that still drives me insane to this day?
Oh, geez.
Like for me, I think with having children, there's a lot of things with children and raising them here that I don't think I agree 100% with, you know, I don't even agree 100% with back in the States either. Yeah. And you have to realize, look, I don't have to buy the whole package to be a part of being here.
No, exactly. And you know, I think for a long time, I wanted to take in as much as I could, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I lived here.
I think we all start like that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to have as much of a part of it as I could be in many ways. And that can be both fun and also a bit of a struggle, you know, that whole like, oh, I don't fit in this at all. Or I don't agree with that or whatever. But, you know, you do accept there are always going to be things. And I'm sure even if you grow up in a country, you're not going to agree with everything that people do in your own culture. But there's always going to be those things. And you just find the things that you like and then you make peace with the things that you don't. And then you realize, hey, I can do things my own way. You know, Swedish Christmas is a very special thing. And I think in a lot of good ways and a lot of strange ways. And like a very specific tradition that is so Swedish and just such a strange thing that I know has been brought up many times. And that would be the Donald Duck cartoon, the Disney cartoons, the Donald Duck show on Christmas every year, which is such a strange tradition, but I enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed it. And with my ex's family, and we would sit and watch it for every year before dinner. And it was a thing that I loved. But then when I wasn't with him anymore, I had my first Christmas without a Swedish family. And instead I spent it with some other friends who were from other countries. We didn't do one single Swedish tradition. I think one guy from France bought a bottle of Glögg, which we didn't even open, I don't think. And we skipped everything else. And to be honest, it was actually really quite nice to kind of get away from all of that and sort of do our own thing. And I didn't feel bad about that at all. And so, you know, I do like the Swedish traditions too, but it, you know, it was nice to feel that comfort in like, I don't have to do those
and
things.
And you're also like not necessarily as attached to these kind of things as somebody growing up here would be. I mean, when you bring up holidays, we've got Easter coming up and I don't care, but to this day, why do they celebrate it on Easter Eve? Why is it on a Saturday instead of a Sunday? And in our family, my husband's sister, sometimes they want to spend it with her husband's family.
Yeah.
So they'll go back and forth and it'll be like, you know, okay, well, we'll do Saturday with you and we'll do Sunday with you. And every time it's our family's turn for Sunday, they'll ask like, is it okay with you if we do Sunday? I'm like, yeah, that's completely normal to me. That makes a lot more sense to me.
Yeah. Go,
you know what? You can do that every Easter in my book.
And it's funny you say that because, again, with the, you know, not living in the U.S. for so long and living here for so long, it's funny how some of those things still stick with us, like Easter on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in Easter, I don't even really care about Easter much.
Should it matter?
No.
Who cares what day?
But still feels wrong.
Yeah.
It still feels so
some
strange.
Things still cling.
Like, no, it's Easter Sunday. That's the thing. Easter Sunday. Yeah. It's always Sunday.
Nothing happens on the Saturday.
No. And it's the same with, I guess it mostly is these the kind of things with holidays, but it's the same with Christmas. Like, sure, I'll celebrate on Christmas Eve if you want, but
yeah.
Christmas for me is still on Christmas Day. In fact, the past 2 years I've been celebrating with Australian friends, and they also celebrate Christmas Day, so we always do it on Christmas Day, and that just feels right. Those kinds of things I'll never let go of.
But I will say, bonus, Easter Monday and December 26th is a holiday.
Exactly.
That's, all right. Yeah. That's just great.
Yeah.
Those days mean absolutely nothing to me, but if it's a day off,
I'll take it.
All for it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I'm not really complaining about any of these holidays. It's just a funny thing.
Your mind still does not wrap around it because it's not your tradition.
No.
I mean, you're perfectly fine adopting it, but your head will always be like, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'll do it your way, but my way is better still.
No. Yeah.
But that's like, I mean, I know with your family, I know that one of the things that you did is you combined because you really wanted your kids to have the Christmas morning experience that we have as Americans growing up that they don't have here in Sweden. And so you came up basically with your own tradition that still sort of meshed both of them together.
Right, right. The difficult part was Santa. So in Sweden, for those who don't know, Santa usually visits in person on Christmas Eve with a bag of toys after Donald Duck, of course.
Yes.
And it's usually the dad or neighbor or an uncle or something. And when Måns found out that the American tradition was that Santa comes at night and you don't see him, he thought that was the most brilliant thing ever.
I don't blame him. Especially if we go back to the time when Måns was a child, those Santa masks were scary.
Yeah, Google that.
Yes, please.
Swedish Santa mask.
Please do.
Yeah.
Because those costumes were scary. Yeah. I don't know how.
It's plastic, you know, those 70s plastic mask.
Yes.
It's, nightmares. Yeah.
So just, I always wondered about that. Like, don't kids look and go like, what in the world? Who's this monster coming to visit? I guess they don't care.
Yeah.
But that's why I think, like, he probably looked at our tradition. We're like, oh, thank goodness. No one has to be Santa.
Exactly. He's like, I didn't want to do that anyway.
Yeah.
So sometimes it works out if you're in a cross-cultural relationship. Mm-hmm. Hey, just take the good stuff you like and throw out the stuff you don't like.
Exactly.
And we would open the Swedish presents on the 24th and we would save the American presents that people had sent for the 25th.
Perfect.
It all worked out.
And, and that's an extended Christmas too. I mean, what kid wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Gifts on two nights.
To say, I'm still the Swedes. Sorry, guys, but you still don't have Halloween quite right. Getting better every year, but it's one day. It's October 31st. I don't want to hear about Halloween in November. That's not Halloween.
It's really funny.
Hey, they're trying.
They're trying. Man, are they trying. They really are trying. It's kind of been amazing to see over the years how it's changed and how they are trying.
Yeah.
And it's, bless them, because they're trying really hard. And like, you'll have little neighborhoods that will, that people will decorate their houses.
I know,
and they
really
will
cute.
Carve pumpkins and they'll have trick-or-treating. And it's adorable. I love, they just can't decide when they're going to do it.
It drives me crazy on the neighborhood forums when people write and they're like, so when are we all going to do Halloween this year? Yeah. And I just want to go, 31st.
Yes, the
31st.
Like every year. It's the 31st. Jeez.
Yeah. So there's a little, you know, cross-cultural issues. But another thing that's interesting that I've always found is, again, moving here, like in our 20s, when you're just starting to be an adult, there are so many things you never encountered. We were talking before we started recording about things you never did in the U.S.
Yeah.
and you did in Sweden as an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, things like going to the hospital or sometimes even paying bills or dealing with stuff. And I found it hilarious because then I only know the way to do the Swedish way.
Exactly.
And sometimes I only know the Swedish words for things.
That is the strangest part. That is so weird when you don't even know the English word for something because you've only ever had to do it as an adult in Sweden, only ever used the Swedish word.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is another thing. And that's another thing I've always said because I moved here when I was 22. So I just barely became an adult when I moved to Sweden. And I had just been working a short amount of time. I had just opened bank account, just learned how to write checks and everything. And I had done that for maybe a couple of years, so settled into that. And then I moved to a new country. And all of those things you have to learn from scratch. Like,
oh yeah,
it's different. It's different. So you come here, first you feel like a child because you don't know how to do any of it. And with you and me, at the time we moved here, no one was moving to Sweden. Like mm-hmm. no one even could put Sweden on a map. And when we moved, it was very common for the, what they call the love refugee. We moved because we moved here with somebody. Mm-hmm. And that was really great for us because we had someone to tell us.
I wouldn't have known what to do otherwise. Yeah,
how to do things and what to do and taught us how to pay bills and all those things. While I think these days now you have so many people here coming here for work and they just show up on their own. They got to learn all this stuff by themselves, which
I think that's got to be crazy difficult.
Yeah. But and you know, in reference to all this, like, and to this trip I recently made to the US, that became this sort of difference in what you know became really strong for me because I was going because my mom is sick and in the hospital. And I had to go and deal with a lot of the adult things you have to deal with when you're over there or anywhere, really, when a family member is in the hospital and you have to take care of things. And I kind of went over, but was totally blind on what to do because I'm used to a Swedish system. The way you do things here, you have a central agency in Sweden that knows everything about you. And I know for those who are not Swedish or who don't live here, that sounds scary. But let me tell you, it's the most convenient thing in the world. The tax office knows everything. And anything that happens, you report to the tax office. And that information gets spread to every other agency instantly. You don't have to think about a thing.
I mean, that's what computers are for.
Yes.
I wish other people would hop on board.
Yes. But when you go back to the US, there is no central information for anything. And every agency you talk to, you have to hand them a million papers and proof of this and that and this and that. And so to go back and be told, like, now you have to do things the American way, when you've been living in another country for 20 years, it's like your brain just breaks in half because you go, how do you even do any of this?
Yeah, I don't know. You've never dealt with anything with a hospital or things like that.
No,
or the healthcare system.
The healthcare system.
Which is very difficult in a country like the US.
Yeah.
And like you and I have never had to deal with that.
No, I mean, we're really fortunate to live here where the healthcare system is a whole lot easier to deal with. It's always there for us. We don't have to be contacting insurance companies or applying for this and that. It's just something that exists that we have and our taxes pay for it. But in the US, I learned in the 2 weeks I was there a lot of stuff in a very short amount of time. That reminded me why I'm never going to go back. But I mean, even just beyond that, like things I've learned along the way while I've lived here about the US that I didn't know until after I left and hearing things like, for example, I only learned maybe 5 or more years ago that you really have to have a credit card in the US because that's like one of the only ways to prove that you have good credit. Like they want you to have a credit card and they want you to use it. And I'm like, that is wild to me that like you are, they basically force you to have a credit card over there. While over here, people are just like, ooh, credit card. No, we don't want to use that.
I only have a debit card.
Yeah. I do have a credit card for points, and I use it because when I spend money on it, it's to get points on my for flights and things. But I always pay it off. I never had any debt on it. So I just use it for that. But in the US, they really like expect you to have debt. They really design the system that you have debt. But as long as you're paying the minimum payments, your credit is still fine.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's how so many people live over there. And I never wanted to move back, but to hear that if I were to move back, simply for the fact that I haven't lived there without a credit card, I would have bad credit from the start.
Yeah.
Just for that
reason.
Even
though you're a person who pays everything off.
Yes, and, exactly. Yeah. Which is, it's crazy. It's crazy. So a lot of things like that just like I said, I've never wanted to move back, but just the idea of moving back, like, I don't know how anything works. I don't know how to do anything. I don't want to deal with any of it. I just don't. I just want to, I don't know how anything works.
Yeah.
I know everything about growing up there. I know nothing about being an adult there.
Right. If you picture yourself in a time machine and plop you down to deal with maybe school stuff, then you're good.
That's different. Yeah. Yeah.
We should probably wrap up a bit. Lately, I've just been asking people for tips. And I mean, it's been quite a while since you've been on. And, you know, as you say, you've lived here a very long time now. So I'm expecting a really good tip.
Oh, God.
Let's see. This can be like somewhere you need to check out in Sweden. It can be a cool restaurant in your area. It can be activity that you've just discovered that you can do in Sweden. I've just started with archery. It's a lot of fun. I'm in Stockholm, and there's a two or three different clubs you can check out here, and it's really nice. And if you find these niche hobby things, it's usually very welcoming. You don't necessarily have to have good Swedish or anything. It's a nice hobby that you can also do indoors in the winter,
and probably a good way to meet people since it's so hard to meet people.
It is. That is a good tip. If you can find something, archery, fencing, swing dancing, you know, sign up for something like this. Those kind of things are really a good way to meet people. There are so many international people that I've done all three of these in the past couple months.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, don't worry if your Swedish isn't that great. It's pretty, at least in Stockholm and in the bigger cities, it's pretty adaptable to that. And it is a good way to meet people if you've got an interest like that. So that'd be my tip.
Now we're going to have
to. The pressure's on.
Yeah. Got to. I have any tips. if I can just give a Stockholm tip of a place to go to. I did this last summer. And I mean, it is a place people have I've heard about. And I've heard about it mostly in like conferences. Like it's a nice place to go where they have conferences. And I just decided to visit. It's called Artipelag.
Yes, you know, I haven't been there yet, and I hear it's really nice.
And it's not that far. It's really not that far. It's I can take a bus from here and there and be there in like 30, 40 minutes or something. And it's a small museum. And I went last year because they have this interactive Van Gogh exhibit there, which I must admit, slightly overpriced for what it is. But it was nice. I mean, it was a cool experience. And they have a cafe there where they have a terrace. And the thing is it's on the water. So it's right on the water at the start of the archipelago right there. You can go, you don't have to pay to go inside. You can go to just sit and have either lunch in the restaurant or sit at the cafe and sit on the terrace of the cafe. But for me, the best part of it is behind the building, they have built these wooden paths through the marshes and the woods to get out to the water. And the paths are built very nicely. They're very wide. You can take a wheelchair or strollers out there as well. Uh-huh. And it takes you right out to the water. And if you continue to walk the paths, they do have some sort of like art installations or sculptures along the way. There's a few of them. There's one called the Solar Egg, which you can look that up, Solar Egg, Stockholm, and it's right on the water. It looks like a big giant golden egg that you can sit by or, you know, walk by. And it's just a really nice walk on a summer day or a spring day or even a fall day to walk out there. Maybe put your feet in the water. That's what I did last summer. It was so nice. Just watch the boats go by. And it's a super, if you want a neat, really nice little calm day, have some coffee, some fika, and just take a little walk on that little boardwalk there. I really recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, the Artipelag.
Artipelag.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, that's pretty easy to look up. It's a little past Nacka, I think,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's a bus that goes, it can take you directly there. I think from Centralen even, or Slussen, I think. You get on the bus and it'll go directly there, drop you right off outside. And like I said, there's arts installations you can pay for. Otherwise, just go in, have coffee. Take a walk. Yeah, very nice.
Wonderful. That's excellent because eventually the weather will be nice again.
Oh, yes.
We promise. We've been here half our lives now and it doesn't look like the weather's going to get better, but it always does.
It always does. I'm telling you, every winter I do have that moment of fear of going, it'll never be sunny and warm again.
Yeah.
But it happens. It always comes back.
So far.
Yes, so far.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather.